I'm not pulling out of my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for another Drive to Work Coronavirus Edition. Okay, so I have a wonderful guest with me today, Gabby Sparks. Hey, Gabby.
Hi. Hi, Mark. How are you? It's good to see you.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you the question. I always start with the same question, is how did you get into magic?
Sure. So I got into magic around 2011, and one of my best friends from college actually knew that I would love the game because he played as a kid, but I'd never played magic. So he got me a deck builder's toolkit for my birthday. And he called it a selfish gift because he wanted to play too, because he hadn't played magic in years. And so I was like, okay, we'll try it out. So we made some really, really kind of bad decks. We just had like the mono green deck, the like black vampires deck, which is the one that I played. And a bunch of people at my office, we all got into it at the same time, which was really cool because it was some people who had played when they were kids and they hadn't played in a long time. Some people who had never played, like I had never had played, and some people who had dabbled in and out. So I think together we kind of formed this group of like magic players at work. And eventually we started going to like FNM, and then we started going to Grand Prix and stuff. So it was awesome. It was cool to do it with friends.
Okay, so how did you go? So that's a very simple times. How did you sort of go from casually playing in the office to having magic become a much bigger part of your life? What was that transition?
So I think we all got into it to varying degrees of intensity. So we had a friend who was like immediately going into Andrew Beckstrom. Actually, he was immediately into the like PTQ scene, and he got really competitive real fast. I was definitely on the more like, I'm going to go on Fridays and this is kind of fun. But I had recently moved to Chicago, so I didn't really have a well-developed group of friends there, and we got into magic right around the same time. So going to FNM means that a lot of my social circle in Chicago just became magic players that I met playing the game. So that part was really cool because it just became such a big part of my life very quickly, because it wasn't just that I loved the game, it also just became this like very big social aspect to my life. And eventually, many, many years after I started playing, I stumbled upon Twitch, and I had done a lot of work on YouTube. And I went to the Magic directory, and this is back when there was only Magic Online, and there were so few people streaming it at the time. And I was like, I can do that too. Like, I definitely know how to do this. I've done stuff like this for YouTube. So I made a Twitch account and didn't really have like a rig. I just had like a very, very medium laptop that I was streaming out of, but I really loved it and the community was awesome. So I just started streaming since then. That was about 5 years ago now.
So let's talk a little bit, because I mean, one of the things that I'm trying to do with my interviews is I want to expose the audience to a lot of different aspects of magic. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to talk with you about streaming, because I think that, I don't know, I mean, a lot of people obviously watch streamers, but a lot of people aren't even aware. So let's talk a little bit, what is streaming? Let's get into the idea of what exactly streaming is.
Sure. So the funny thing with streaming is I think a lot of people think, it's like, why would you watch other people play games, right? And I think it gets lost in the sauce. Sometimes people don't quite follow, like, why would you watch other people play games when you could play it yourself? But I feel like it's similar to watching other people play sports, right? You don't always gonna want to go play sports yourself. You watch other people do it. And so that's part of the beauty of streaming, is that it's not just for magic, right? It's for anything. It can be people streaming them cooking and making cakes, decorating something. It could be them making music, play the piano, or play games. And for me, it was magic, because that was the game I was obsessed with at the time, still am. but it's really cool because you develop this like nice community around streaming the game, because if you're not familiar with it, you get to see the person playing the game, you get to see the person themselves, and there's a chat, and the chat gets involved in how you play. So the chat gets to, if you're doing a draft, for example, the chat gets to weigh in. They get to say like, oh, you should take this or that. And if you made a bad play, they get to make fun of you for punting, or if you made a sick play, they get to like congratulate you because it was good, right? So it becomes a very social experience. It's much bigger than just streaming a game. It's a communal activity.
Yeah. So one of the things that I find very interesting is like one of the things I want to expose people to. One of the reasons I've been doing a lot of different interviews is that magic is so many different things. Like one of the things to me that's fascinating is that there's so many different communities out there, right? It's not, I mean, there's kind of a larger magic community, but really it's a lot of smaller communities that, you know, and like, for example, you have people I assume that watch you regularly, that, You know, one of the things they, one of the shows they like to watch is you playing Magic. And what, I want to get down a little bit. What is it like? So when you're playing, how is playing a game with, what, while you're streaming, different from just playing a game?
So it's actually quite different because Magic is a very complicated game, right? It's like it requires a lot of thinking. So it's a strategic game. It makes sense. So when you're playing by yourself, you'll like sit there and you'll consider like, should I attack? Should I block? Like, what should I do? Or even if you're drafting, you're like trying to think like, what cards did I pick? What should my next pick be? Or like trying to evaluate cards. Like maybe if the set is new, you're trying to figure out like, does this card look good when you're reading it? But when you're playing with other people watching, it really changes the dynamic of how that works. Instead of being just about playing, it ends up being kind of, you can end up having, like, one of the things that's, like, pretty common in my stream is we just go off topic, you know? Like, we'll be playing Magic, and it's with all the Magic people, but we'll go off topic and talk about lots of things. Mm-hmm. Or a lot of times it'll be, like, if it's a simple play, like, if it's so obvious that you should just, like, turn everyone sideways, it's like, okay, cool, attack all, easy. But if it's a really complicated play, maybe you can be like, so we have two options. We can do this or we could do that. And this would be good if it's this case, or this would be bad if they have this card. And then kind of collectively you can be like, let's just take the risk. Let's go for it. And then you can either, it goes great or you get punished. So it does mean you play a little slower. Like for me, that definitely means that. But it also feels like it's cool to have people be able to take a look at what you're doing because you also get to learn from that. Like, a lot of times you get to stop and be like, wow, that really didn't go well. Let's think about it. Why? What could we have done differently? Not just this turn, but, like, even earlier. What could we have done to win that game? And it feels really good to have other people to kind of bounce those ideas off of, because other people are for alternative lines of play. Or maybe they're like, what if we had taken this card on turn two with Thoughtseize? Like, it changes a lot of that.
So how much of streaming do you think is entertainment versus sort of playing the game?
It's like half and half. I think it's more towards entertainment, to be honest, because at least in the way I experience streams is I will treat them like I'm watching a show, but one that I'm not really paying that much attention to because I'll be doing something else. So like one of the ways I watch Twitch is I'll be working on one monitor and I'll have somebody else's stream up on the other. So I won't always be looking at what they're doing, which always happens with streaming, and people love to come in and they're like, why don't you do this thing? It's like, well, I can't do that because those are like three illegal plays, or like that's all the card does, which happens all of the time. But it does mean that you do have to have an entertainment factor, right? Because if it's not just watching the stream, people are going to want to be there for like the ambiance. It's entertaining. Like what does it feel like? What are the other people in the community like? And for some streamers, it's true. Like, I think for some streamers, it is just about playing the game. Some people are just like laser focused and like pulling to see if they're like looking on turn one, like, which of these three lands do I play? And like say nothing.
Yeah.
But that's what's cool, right? It changes from stream to stream.
Well, the one of the things that I find, the dynamic I find very interesting is, one of the things about the Magic community is this idea of wanting to share with one another, you know, like having a shared thing. And that the neat thing about a stream is that, like, it's fun to, like, I mean, how big do your streams get? Like, what like, how many people, like, what's your high point of a stream, for example?
It really varies. I think, like, I recently did a media kit, so I know my, like, average concurrent viewership is, like, around 500. But, like, you have some days where you just go up to, like, 1,500. It really kind of depends. When the set's out, when the new set's out, there's a lot more people who I think get really excited because they maybe haven't gone to FNM yet, but they're excited about the new set. They kind of want to see what's up, right? And they want to see somebody else, like, draft different archetypes or see what they think about, like, the new card. So depending on what's going on, like, it really can just, it's a really wide range of how many people can show up. But it's always, like, a healthy amount of people who are weighing in the chat, and you can kind of have those conversations.
So one of the things I know about, so I have a son, I have a 16-year-old son, and his name's Adam. And one of the things that Adam does is he watches Twitch all the time because he's trying to learn. Like, one of the things I know that I'm sure happens for you is, and maybe this is why people really like on new sets, is I don't know what's going on. I want to get comfortable before I go and do it live because I want to make sure, you know, I don't want to look foolish or something. So it's fun to sort of watch somebody else do it, and I can get comfortable sort of viscerally watching them so that when I go do it myself, I'm coming from a place of comfort. How much of that happens?
100%. That is a big part of streaming, I think. I do think this varies from streamer to streamer. because some people are like, you know what? I'm not here to think. I'm here to play my deck, and maybe it's bad, and it doesn't matter. But I do think learning is a big part of it. Like, for the people who are learning, I think they will be paying a lot more attention. Like, they won't just be here to hang out. They'll be here because they want to be like, hey, I like the deck you're playing. I want to see you play that deck. And if you have tips and tricks, I want to know that. It's similar to when people go look for strategic articles and they try to find, how do I play this deck better? Because this is one of the things that I think makes Magic truly awesome, is that you just have so many different directions and so many different decks, so many different strategies that you can play, that you could be a great like aggro player, and it's very different than being like a good combo player, right? So sometimes I will go to like Matt Nass's stream, for example, and I'll be like, I want to watch you play this specific deck because I know I can learn a lot from that.
Yeah.
Whereas I might not necessarily want to watch him play like an aggro deck because he wouldn't even be streaming that in the first place. But yeah. I do feel like learning from other players is a big part of it, because you do pick up all they streamers generally play a lot, so they tend to play decently well, so you can learn a lot from them.
Okay, so I want to dig a little more into, I mean, you do a lot of streaming, but I'll also talk, so let's talk about some of the other things you do with Magic.
I used to, not as much anymore, but I used to be a play-by-play commentator for Wizards, so I was living the traveling life every weekend. That was really fun. I got kind of burnt out on it. The travel was a little much for me, but I love doing it.
Let's talk about that. What's it like? So for the person, like, what is that life like?
It was really cool. For, like I said, I got burnt out of the travel mostly because I'm such a homebody. Like, that's the biggest thing for me. But it was really cool because it was both for Grand Prix and Pro Tours. Mm-hmm. So for a while, it was like, you know, this weekend we were in Atlanta, and then the next weekend we were in Hawaii for the Pro Tour, and then the next weekend we were in Texas for another Grand Prix. So it was a lot of travel. But also, you get to work with some really talented people, and I loved everybody that I worked with. And it's a stressful job, but it's also very rewarding. And it's also like, I feel like there's a lot of room for growth. Like, I always felt like I had a lot of room for improvement, and that's something I really cared about. So
I want to, for people, obviously behind the scenes, I like sort of sharing behind the scenes. So what is it, if you're a play-by-play, what does it mean? What are you actually doing? Like, what's the physicality of it?
So in the booth, and actually, you know, I'm glad you asked me that, because I think a lot of people don't know this. In the booth, there's two roles. There's always two roles. There's a play-by-play commentator, and then there's the expert / the color. Mm-hmm. It's the analyst. So the play-by-play is the host. So the host welcomes people when they come back to the broadcast. So, you know, they get a countdown from the producer, and you'll be like, hello, everybody, welcome back to Pro Tour Hawaii, blah, 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 blah. And then you just do like an intro. You do things like throw to ads, like you're the person who's kind of directing the broadcast, and you are also the person who's in charge of asking the analyst the questions. So it's your job to know every card, what they're called, what they look like. Like, you have to know that like this, and you have to be very quick with it. And you're setting up, you actually set up questions that sounds sometimes dumb, like they make you look kind of like you don't know what you're talking about, but it's because you're asking so that the color can say, oh yeah, this was a great play for this reason. Or so like you'll ask things like, what is the bad matchup for this deck? You might know, but you're setting up the analyst.
Yeah.
And then the analyst on the other side of the booth is a person who's like, who's very knowledgeable. They could be a Hall of Famer, they could be a pro player, and their job is to kind of walk the audience through what's happening in the game and tell you what things were good or what things were bad. And maybe like what a player needs to do to get out of a situation, or like how they can come back in a game if they're really far behind. So you kind of do this like ping pong between the two of you, where you ask questions and set them up and ask them to answer those questions. Then they'll answer that, and then it's back to you to kind of keep directing the broadcast.
So I don't know if you're aware of this. I used to do play-by-play in the very, very early.
I do know that. I do actually know that.
So
how long ago was that?
Oh, I mean, at the beginning of the over 20 years ago, beginning of the Pro Tour.
I think I've seen some of those videos, like they so like super old school, like
yeah,
old,
like very old school,
320p or something.
Yeah, so I used to do I was play by play, and then I used to do interviews like in between stuff. Like my Tommy Hovey interviews has gained legendary status.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah, I've seen those videos. They're super old school. I know I was like in 320p. They look so blurry, but they feel like magic history to me, so I've totally watched them.
My favorite part was I loved when someone win, my favorite part was like, it's the champion. Like, I'm just like, the big dramatic finish.
Getting to do the, like, the exciting part of announcing the winner and like getting excited or being able to react to like the really sweet plays or like amazing top decks.
Yeah.
That's definitely the coolest part. So I've done a lot of play by play and I've also done a lot of work like as a host. So I've done like the person on the street interviews, any of the interviews that are not like in the actual booth. Yeah, kind of like a lot. So some of the stuff that BDM has done a lot.
And a lot of what people don't realize behind the scenes is there's a lot of roles that people play. Mm-hmm. And like, what's the booth like? I've been in the booth. So like, explain to me what the booth is. The booth is not very big.
The booth is really small. it's you and another person. And also like the camera always makes it look like you're further away than you're supposed to be. So you're actually like really close to each other. So usually at Pro Tours, the booth will be in a little cube that is soundproof. So it's kind of like you and in the screen where you watch the game.
How many screens do you have when you watch?
It depended. Sometimes we got one that we both had to share. Sometimes we each got the one in front of us, which was nice.
Yeah.
But that didn't always happen. And you don't always get a soundproof booth, by the way. So at Grand Prix, for example, you just have all the loud noises and all the people running around and screaming, and you're just a little elevated because it's on a platform. Yeah. And you have a bigger TV. And then you're commentating just from the floor, which actually has cool energy to it too.
Yeah, it's funny that we've experimented over the years where we stick the commentators.
Yeah.
Like there's a time where we had them with the audience, where the audience could see them. Like we've moved them around a bit. Although the audience seeing them gets very noisy. That's why we don't do a lot of the audience.
Yeah, you can, and it can also get hard to, I mean, you are wearing these like soundproof headsets, but it still like kind of seeps in. So it can be a little bit distracting. So that's some of the stuff I've done in coverage. I've also worked behind the scenes for coverage too. I've produced some of the side segments, some of the like deck techs that you see. There was this one segment at it was Regional Pro Tour Phoenix, and we did a spin the wheel segment with Maria that was so much fun.
Yeah,
where people, well, we just had people, random players that were playing like spin a little wheel, and they would have to do different things. So there were things like explain banding or like favorite Magic memory, like if you were a Planeswalker, who would you be? Just like really cool stuff.
Yeah,
so we got to film all these fun segments.
Okay, so something else I know you've done, because I did it with you, is we did a bunch of videos that were for stores, right?
They were intro videos for like if you're a new Magic player and you want to know like what to expect when I go to a Grand Prix, or like what do I expect when I go to FNM, like that sort of stuff.
Yes, that's the one time you and I worked together. So,
that was actually really fun. It was in and out. Like we filmed it all in
One day.
I want to say, yeah.
Yeah, and we did seven videos in one day. It was very fast.
Yeah. So, those videos were great. That was a really fun time.
Yeah, it was fun. I got hoarse. The last video I did, which you weren't in, the one where I'm screaming, they did it last because they knew it would ruin my voice. And at the end of the day, I couldn't talk. So it was.
I think people might not know this, but when you do a lot of like film work, specifically like because live streaming is just everything is in there, right? If like my dog comes crashing in and knocks something over, it's gonna be in there.
Yeah.
But for pre-recorded content, you actually film a lot of takes. Like 1 minute of pre-recorded content takes hours to film beforehand. So for those videos, people don't know, we just like did those takes 20 times per video or something. And it takes a long time, but it's the final product obviously makes it worth it.
Yeah. And it's fun. I mean, one of the things that's fun being on camera is like, the one thing that'll happen is you get a script ahead of time, and then there's cameramen and there's a stage manager, and like all these people. Like, that little video where you see two people on video behind the scenes, there's 30 people trying to make the video.
One of the coolest experiences I had when I was, before I worked in coverage, but I was just like traveling to Grand Prix just to play for fun. I think it was Marshall, actually. He's like, hey, do you want to come take a look behind the scenes? Like, do you want to see what it's like? And I was like, yes, of course. That sounds amazing. And you just have no idea, because if you've ever been to a Pro Tour, like the old school Pro Tours, there's big screens that hide everything that happens behind the scenes, right? So you don't see anything that's back there. But if you actually go behind, there's like so many people that are working, so many people with different jobs, a million cameras, so many wires. Like, it's actually awesome. So I remember the first time I got to go back and take a look behind the scenes. It was like, whoa, this is super cool.
Yeah. I mean, my former life was in TV production, you know, doing TV. And one of the things that's very fun is when you sort of go to school and learn it, they make you do all the jobs just so you understand them. And like, for example, there's one person whose sole job is to put the graphics and the Chiron, the text on the screen. And like one person, that's what they do. You know, if someone shows up, they're gonna put their name up. Some, you know, they mentioned a card. Okay, they know ahead of time it's gonna be mentioned, so they put the card up. And that's the idea. Like one person, that's all they do. All they're caring about is just that text.
Just
you know,
that one thing.
And then somebody else is worrying about this completely different thing. And it's neat watching all the different people do their jobs.
Yeah, it's one of the cool things too is for coverage, they have us switch around so that we all know how to do the things, but we'll just be focused on that thing. So at many points, like some of us have been spotters, like the person who's writing the cards that the players are drawing so you can see it on the broadcast. Or we have been like in the booth, right? So we actually get to commentate and do that stuff. Or we've been the person in charge of like making the graphics come in. So you know how sometimes you see like a card goes in and then the card goes out. And so you got to see what the card the player played. Like there's one person who's in charge of making that happen.
Right. And you
kind of get to learn all the roles.
For people that aren't aware, what will happen is you have a database and you have to recognize what the card is. You have to know where the card is, get the card out and put the card up fast enough that it's the person isn't talking about another card.
It's a real fast process. You have to be like this card, or sometimes the commentators will be saying, what card could the player get here to maybe turn this around?
Yeah.
And so maybe one of them will say, they need Bonfire of the Dam. So you're like, pull a bonfire, show it. And then the people at home can see, that's the card they need to get out of the situation.
Yeah. What's your favorite? If you could pick of all the things you've done, what is your favorite of those when you're at a Pro Tour?
You know, I actually really liked being behind the scenes. Even though I've done a lot of like front camera facing work, I loved producing the side segments that we did for some of those Pro Tours.
Yeah.
Those were really fun. But second to that, it was definitely being a play-by-play. Like so that part was just awesome.
So producer, real quick, just because people... So we sometimes say terms, and I realize that people don't know quite what that means.
Yeah,
so,
when you're like in the weeds, you kind of forget.
Right. So what a producer is somebody has to figure out, okay, we're going to do something. Well, what people do we need? Where are we going to shoot it? Like you need to figure out all the pieces of it so that it can be put together so that it happens.
Right. So it's basically putting all those things together, and it also includes sometimes you'll also be the person who shoots them and edits them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've done for some of these in the past, where you have to figure out like, hey, let's reach out to all the people we want to interview. Maybe you want to find out, like, you maybe want to get a 2-second snippet of somebody saying, oh, this is the deck I brought today and why I'm happy with it. Or maybe it's questions like, what is the matchup you don't want to face? Or what would it mean for you to win this tournament? Like, it could be a variety of things, right? So you need to find those people, get them to come in. You'll like set up the shot so that they can, you know, like you can interview them.
Mm-hmm.
You'll set up the cameras and the microphones and all that stuff. And you might have other people helping you do this too, obviously. And then once you have that raw footage, you get to take that footage, edit it. And then that is what shows up in between the rounds of coverage. So when you're not watching people play the actual match or the commentators, you'll see that filler segment. And those are the filler segments with people doing interviews. And they can be silly. They can be serious. They can be top 8 deck techs. Like you'll do deck techs, or it might be somebody coming to tell you like how they feel after a victory, or they can tell you like a story of how they got into Magic. It could be any sort of things. And
so I'm gonna let people in on a little secret. We'll give a little behind the scenes. So one of the things they do at the Pro Tour is you guys arrive a day early, and then a lot of the stuff, not all of it, but a lot of the in-between stuff is shot not while the Pro Tour is going on, but before the Pro Tour is going on.
Yeah. So it's a mix of the two, because if you arrive early to get those interviews that are not time sensitive, right? You can show them at any point, and people want to see about the players that are playing in the tournament. Like that's a big part of it. So you get to film that ahead of time and then edit those and get them ready to go. But then also you have to turn it around real quick, because sometimes you'll be like, okay, we got the person, they just won the round, let's do the interview. And then you have to edit that real quick and boom, send it so that the person who's producing the whole show can show that in between the rounds. So it does get pretty fast paced, but I actually like that a lot. It's like, okay, boom, go, go, go. We have to get people in and out and get all this stuff turned around.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's funny. When I left Hollywood to come to Wizards, my thought was, oh, wow, I guess all my training, all my communications, all that stuff, well, I won't do that. And I get here and then like I'm producing, you know, like the very first, for like 9 years on the Pro Tour, I was the producer of Sunday. I would produce.
You told me about that when we were working on those videos that we
yes,
did.
Yes, yes. And so, like, one of the stories, here's a quick story. You're talking about being the play-by-play. So there was a point in time where I was both the play-by-play and the producer. So I would do the play-by-play, and then when my partner was talking, I would talk to the director and go, okay, we need to go to table three. That's our next show. Like, so I, in between me doing play by play, I was,
that's really funny.
And then finally I realized that we needed two people. Like we should have a producer and have a play by play. So I started producing and I stopped play by playing, but,
it's one of those things that when you see the final result, it looks really smooth and you're like, oh yeah, of course you go see the interviews and you do this and that and it all flows really nicely. But really there's so many people behind the scenes that are working on this stuff that you do need a lot of helping hands to actually get it to come together.
So you do streaming, you do stuff up play by play and behind the scenes, stuff like that. Is there anything else you do in magic? Any other?
Yeah, I actually have a podcast. It's called Magic FM. I do it with Mashi from Channel Fireball.
Okay, what's it about? What's your podcast about?
Magic news. It's just magic news and like hot topic discussion. So It will be, you know, as things happen in magic, we'll talk about them.
Okay.
But they can also range all sorts of things like, is ghosting ethical? Like that was our first episode. And we've gotten to do some cool discussions. We'll also bring people from the community in. We'll bring some of our friends and other pro players. And we'll do kind of what we're doing here. We just do a little bit of an interview and see where it goes. Because it can just, you know, like we never go in with like a super strict schedule. So we actually have Paul Chion come on a couple of weeks ago. And we got to talk about Cube a lot because I love Cube.
Yeah.
Obviously, Paul loves Cube. Yep. To curate the Cube for Wizards. So we had a discussion with Luis and Paul.
Yeah.
Just that was all about cubing and it was awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, one of the things that I'm hoping to do with my interviews is show the breadth of magic. Like one of the things that I see, just because I communicate with the public so much, of, like, even today, like, just of stuff you do, like, there's streaming of possibilities that people might be interested. There's podcasting possibilities people might be interested in. There's online, you know, pro tours and Grand Prix. I mean, we're in COVID right now, but back when we get to the day where we're allowed to go outside our houses, there's all that stuff. So let me ask that as a fellow podcaster, what is your favorite part of podcasting?
I love the medium because podcasting has something that I think not streaming or coverage have, which is you kind of get to go in depth about a lot of things and you have a lot of latitude to move into different topics. So yeah, you start out maybe with like a list of things you want to cover, but if the conversation takes you elsewhere, you can go there and there's room to explore that. So I think podcasting can allow for pretty serious conversations where streaming and coverage don't. Because coverage obviously won't let you do that. You're covering the game of magic, like that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot more strict and serious than streaming is. In streaming, you can see my dog come in and I'll get up and go to the bathroom. Like it's very chill.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have any conversation you want. Say like, there goes my dog. You can probably hear her.
Mm-hmm.
But also in streaming, you are playing another game. So because I'm playing Magic, sometimes I get distracted. Like what if we're in the middle of a serious conversation and then my opponent like top decks to Wrath and I'm like, oh my God, we're going to lose this game now. What happened? So it's also hard to have like this one-to-one discussion and connection where you can really go in depth. And in podcasting, you totally can do that. I think that's my favorite thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is fun. I mean, I mess in a lot of different mediums and I find podcasting to be the one where you get to sort of ruminate the most.
You do a lot of writing too. How do you feel about writing compared to the other mediums?
Well, writing to me is a little more technical. Like when I'm writing, I have complete control of the words I'm saying. So I get a very crafted message where when I'm doing a podcast, it's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like as example for behind the scenes, I push start and then I push stop. Like there's no editing. Right. Like, whatever we say. And so there's a very free form to podcasting that I enjoy. But it's, like, I sit down to interview you. I mean, I have some idea where it's going to go. But I don't know, you know, like, as we talk, maybe there's a new cool thing that you come up with that I never thought about. But let's go down that avenue. And podcasting really has some of that flow. Now, the funny thing is most of my podcasting, when it's not a pandemic, is solo podcasting, which is a very different animal. It's kind of a stream of thought. And that's a very different...
Right, you're just kind of going.
Yeah, I'm driving to work and I'm like, let's talk about this topic. And I'll just, you know, brain dump everything I can think about that topic. And that's... Once again, I haven't done that for a while because I haven't been driving to work. But
right, of course.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy that. So anyway, I'm almost to my desk. So is there any final thing? Like I'm using these to let people sort of expand and see new things. So if they want to see you, where can they see you?
I'm everywhere online, but my Twitch stream is just twitch.tv/GabbySparks. If you want to see more about my stuff, I have a portfolio. It's just on GabbySparks.com. Sparks is SPARTZ. I know it's kind of a hard name to pronounce or say sometimes. But yeah, I think that's the coolest thing about Magic, honestly. I love how there's so many little like subgroups to things that people are passionate about. You can't see this because it's in the background on my stream, but I actually have the original art to Ambush Viper. And so for a while I dabbled into like all this community of people who love buying the art for Magic cards and collectors and stuff like that. Or you can just be like a cosplayer. I've cosplayed a little bit before. I have mad respect for the cosplayers out there. Or like the people who just go deep in the strategy and they want to play like to the best of their abilities and stuff. And that's just my favorite thing about Magic. I just love how passionate people are, even about so many different things.
Yeah. Yes. So anyway, I want to thank you. So I'm at my desk. So we all know what that means. It means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. But I want to thank Gabby. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
So anyway, guys, I want to thank Gabby, and I will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.